Today I'd like to talk with you about what is a Lutheran Christian? What place do we have as Lutheran Christians in the midst of the great visible Christendom in the world? What is our identity as Lutheran Christians, and how does our identity today as Lutheran Christians help to anchor us in a very topsy-turvy world? Isn't the world pretty topsy-turvy today? You know, it seems like a lot of the things that we used to believe in and know to be pillars and things we could rely on as foundations are being kind of undergirded and swept away these days. I used to think the government was trustworthy, if you ever thought that, and nowadays it seems no, and maybe even hostile to its citizens here and around the world. You look at sports, we used to think that's American, it's patriotism. Now it's so woke and so liberal. You know, you look at education, and they're teaching crazy things these days in the education places. The medical field these days as well, we totally relied on in yesteryear. Now some of it is and some of it's not so reliable. There's so much corruption there. People have gone crazy, and maybe the biggest of all is the church. The church has gone crazy in certain places of visible Christendom, where they've basically been swept away from their foundation. You know, the liberal Lutherans that we're not talking about today, they're teaching things today that are contrary to the Word of God. They teach abortion and as a good thing to do, and homosexuality as something that's right. You know, I was seeing recently that they even have a transgender bishop in California and a drag queen pastor in Chicago. So many of the things we used to believe in, their foundations are being swept away. The world is very topsy-turvy these days. But how does our identity, how does your identity as a conservative, biblical, Lutheran Christian today grounds you and anchor us in a world that has gone crazy? Especially, how does it anchor us that we be strong, secure, sane, and courageous as we are awaiting the return of our King and as we go through the last troublesome days of the world before Jesus Christ returns? So today I'd like to look with you at the seven anchors that we have as Lutheran, conservative, biblical Christians and how that makes you strong for these days. What are the seven anchors? Well, the first anchor that you have in your identity as a conservative, biblical, Lutheran Christian is, you are a Christ-centered people. For the true Christ. We put Jesus Christ as number one for our everything. He is our only hope of salvation, the only way to be saved and to go to the Father. You know, we read this of what Paul says of his faith in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He says, Him we proclaim, that's Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. It's Him that we proclaim. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul says, I decided to know nothing else among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're so thankful to be part of a church that puts Jesus Christ as number one for our everything, the biblical Jesus. And He's the only way to be saved. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. And in all of our publications and all of our writings and all of our preachings and teachings, it's Jesus Christ is the hero, not us, but Him. And Him we proclaim. That's so important in a world where many churches in visible Christendom today are saying Jesus Christ is a way to heaven, not the way to heaven. And in so doing, they have created for themselves a counterfeit Christ. One who is not the true one, a false anchor, and that's very dangerous. For if you preach such things and believe such things, when you go to heaven to seek to enter at the gates there, you'll be turned away as a thief and a robber, for you didn't have the true anchor, which is the true Christ, the Son of God. And so this first anchor that we believe in as Lutherans, Christ-centered, is shared by many other Protestant, biblical, conservative Christians in the other denominations. This is a common anchor we have with our brothers and sisters in the other denominations. We rejoice that this anchor will hold you and us all fast for the day of our King's great return. And so I'd say, really, as Lutheran Christians, we really could say we're Christians in the Lutheran Church rather than calling ourselves Lutheran. So think of yourself as a Christian in the Lutheran Church. That's a Lutheran Christian, a true believer within this great church body. Jesus Christ first is our great anchor. It's an anchor that will see you through any and every storm to come. So be strong today in Him. Isn't that great? Number one anchor? Our second anchor that defines us as conservative, biblical, Lutheran Christians is that the foundation for our every teaching and belief comes from the Word of God alone, the Scriptures, the Bible alone. And let me open up to you. This is our Book of Concord, you know? Lutherans, they certainly do it. Look at this. It's a huge book, working out all the details. But this is what we say about our belief from the Bible. In the formula of Concord, it is written, we say, we believe, teach, and confess that the only rule, say only, only rule and guiding principle according to which all teachers and teachings are to be evaluated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testaments alone. Say alone. As it's written, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And as St. Paul said, if even an angel from heaven should preach to you something contrary, let that one be accursed. So we say that the Scriptures are the source and the norm for all of our doctrine, preaching, and teaching. The source means all of our teachings come from this book, the Bible, and are in accordance with it. And norm, when we say it's the source and the norm, it means norm means that we judge every teacher, every teaching that comes toward us according to this book to see whether it's in accordance with God's holy word, the Bible. If it's in accordance, we'll take it. If it's not, we reject it. It's the source and the norm for everything. We believe as Lutheran Christians that this book is inerrant, which means without error, that it's infallible, which means it is not contains no faults. It faithfully teaches us the truth of God. As it's written, forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens. It's an anchor for you in every storm, and it's a great anchor. You know, if you're with great storms coming against you, if your anchor is in the right holding ground, the harder the wind blows, the more firmly it keeps you in place. It digs deep into that mud and secures you. You know, other denominations this day in visible Christendom have departed from Scripture alone, or have said that it's a book full of errors, redactions, and edits, and such things. You know that our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, actually started to slip into that in the 1960s. We started to have some liberal professors infiltrate our seminaries. Our denomination's been very biblical, so we wanted to do something about that. We had a synod convention, had new elections, a new direction, and on February 19th, 1974, we fired them all in a single day. How about that, huh? Maybe some of you remember that day, but they were all told, you're in violation of your contracts, basically go find a new place to live. Not being mean, but we wanted to get back to the Word of the Living God, confessing this book as the truth. For Jesus himself said in John 8, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So number one, it's Jesus Christ alone is our anchor, him alone, and the Scriptures alone anchor us in any storm. What a marvelous one to have. And we share this with all conservative biblical Christians and all of the Protestant Reformation churches. We rejoice in that all together. That's great. What's our third anchor of seven? The third one that anchors us is the true gospel. That we're justified, say it with me, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's right on Luther's coat of arms on the cover of our bulletin today. Let's open up and read that in the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord here. We actually had to make our confession to the Catholic Church when we're speaking with them in 1530. This is what we wrote of our faith. Furthermore, it's taught that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God through our merit, work, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God out of grace for Christ's sake through faith, when we believe that Christ has suffered for us and that for his sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. For God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness in his sight, as St. Paul says in Romans 3 and 4. In other words, we're justified not by our deeds, but by Christ's deeds at the cross and his resurrection, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. When we confessed this before the Catholic Church in 1530, they rejected it. In fact, they anathematized or eternally cursed to hell anybody who preached such a thing. And that's a big problem, because the scriptures teach, indeed, that this is the case. Romans 3, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are justified by his grace as a free gift, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. For by faith you've been, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So Martin Luther said that this is the article by which the church stands or falls. If you have justification, right, you stand. If you lose that, you fall, because this is the gospel that saves you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Many Christian, supposedly Christian, denominations today have departed from this truth of the gospel. They've departed from the anchor. They are swept away on this turbulent, topsy-turvy world, heading for the rocks, if not on them already. But we hold fast to this, and it holds us fast as an anchor. This also, we share this anchor with all of our conservative biblical brothers in the Protestant Reformation churches. We all agree on this anchor and rejoice in it together. It will hold all of us fast in Christ. Amen? Amen. So up till now, I've given you three of the seven. Now, up till now, all of our Protestant conservative biblical brothers will agree with us on these, and they will hold us fast. The next set of anchors are more distinctly Lutheran and not held by many of our brothers in other places. What's the fourth anchor? The fourth anchor that identifies you as a Lutheran Christian really is our liturgy. Say liturgy. That's how we worship. That we are a church historically connected to the way Christians have worshiped really for thousands of years in times past. And our liturgy is basically so filled with scripture that it feeds you very well when you come here. Now, I'm not judging other denominations here, because there are no set rules for how we have to worship. I mean, there are some rules in scripture, of course, but it's great variety is acceptable. But you know what? When I go to other denominations, God bless them, usually what I see is that they have 45 minutes of songs and 45 minutes of a sermon. And that's pretty much it. They have no confessing and repentance of their sins, no pronouncing of the forgiveness of their sins. They don't out loud read Scripture. They don't have often the Lord's Supper. They don't often have congregational prayers, although sometimes they do. You know, I think all of them pretty much have the offering. They retain that one. And I'm not, again, judging them as if, you know, their way is wrong or something, but I'm saying we are very blessed as Lutherans that we are historically connected. The world is so topsy-turvy these days, amen? All the foundations are going, everything's going crazy, but here you have something that stays the same, that is connected to thousands of years of Christianity, of the way Christians have worshipped. And basically our liturgy is 100% just Scripture. It's just continual Scripture. We have God's name to start the service. Then we sing a hymn according to the Word. We then confess and repent for our sins, as we did a few moments ago, using words of Scripture. Then I pronounce to you forgiveness. I quoted to you John 3:16, the Gospel. Then we have reading of Scripture. Now that is actually biblical, because Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, "Till I come, Timothy, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." You know, a lot of churches I go to, God bless them, but they're not reading the Bible out loud. Here you hear the Psalm read, the Old Testament read, the New Testament epistle read, the Gospel read, and then the Message preached. Then you also usually have the Lord's Supper. That's every other week we do it here to feed you. And we have the Creed, and we have the blessing at the end of the service, and we have hymns, sometimes modern, usually ancient or historical, that are in a cadence of a military campaign. A mighty fortress is our God. You can see an army marching to war because we're in a war, and these hymns help to drive us into that war with courage. And so, again, I'm not judging the other denominations. You can worship in many ways, and God bless them, but we have an anchor in your identity as Lutheran Christians that will hold you fast, because you are in a crazy world where all supports are being swept away. Here, it's the same. It is unchanging for thousands of years, and it holds us fast to the historical church. And the liturgy is basically just Bible, 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 Bible. It's feeding you continually while you're here. Now, the fifth anchor that we have as Lutheran Christians is the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, and our understanding of them. You know, that is going to hold us fast no matter what happens in the world. Here again, we have a strength. You know, many other Christian denominations, and again, God bless them, but they treat baptism and the Lord's Supper as just an ordinance, which means a command of God that we need to just obey because for the sake of obeying, with symbolism to it, okay? But they don't believe God does really anything for them in these things so much. We believe as Lutheran Christians that baptism and the Lord's Supper is not really so much something we do for God, although we participate. It's something God Almighty does for us. Mighty, powerful works to bless us, to anchor our faith. We confess that baptism isn't just plain water, but it's water included with God's command and combined with God's word, said Luther. In other words, as Scripture says, listen carefully, God, according to Titus 3, the baptism is a bath of rebirth and regeneration. Ephesians 5, by it Jesus cleanses you by the washing of water with the word. Acts chapter 2, for the forgiveness of your sins. Romans 6 and Colossians 2, that we be buried with Christ and raised and connected to his newness of resurrected life. That we become children of God and heirs of the kingdom. Galatians chapter 3. In short, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3, baptism, which corresponds to Noah being saved through water, now saves you. It is a saving work, not that we do for God, but that which he does for us. And this is such a super anchor for you. You know, when the enemy comes and attacks us aggressively and dreadfully, we can answer back as Lutheran Christians, but I am baptized in Jesus Christ, called God's own. I have an anchor in this fight against you, O devil. Be gone and depart from me, for I go forward as a redeemed man of Christ. Amen? Amen. We have that and the Lord's Supper. You know, we confess with Paul, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? We as Lutherans believe that Christ's real body and blood are present here, really, in the bread and the wine for us Christians given to eat and to drink. Why would we believe such a thing? Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. And then again, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. If you want to arrive at Lutheran theology, here's all you got to do. Read the scripture, word for word. Repeat it back. Say, amen, I believe, and you're done. That's basically it. We take the words literally unless the scripture teaches us to do so otherwise. And we don't know how his body and blood are present, but simply take Jesus at his word. And this is a great anchor for you. Baptism of the Lord's Supper. For as Israel was saved through the water of the Red Sea and was fed with the spiritual heavenly bread from above and the supernatural water from the rock on the way to the promised land, so you and we confess we are saved through the waters of baptism and fed along the highways to Zion with a better food and drink. And all the enemy, all its might, cannot prevail over the power of these. A strong anchor for you as biblical Lutheran Christians. So let's go to the sixth of seven anchors. It is our zeal for good deeds to live a life worthy of our calling in Christ, but not such as we trust in our good deeds for salvation. We can open up and read here in, again, Augsburg Confession, Article 6 says this. Be easier just to look at it here. Let me read it here. It also is taught that such faith should yield good fruit and good works, and that a person must do such good works as God has commanded for God's sake, but not to place trust in them as if thereby to earn grace before God. Right? So you're justified by what Jesus did, not by what you do, but then we are called to good deeds and obedience, which is the natural fruit of faith and shows that you have a true living faith. This is an anchor for us that we share with all our Protestant brothers in the other denominations. They agree. But here's where we differ. We have this anchor as well. Article 12 says, rejected here are those who teach that whoever has once become righteous cannot fall again. Do you know that in other Bible-believing Protestant churches, they're going to teach something called once saved, always saved. Once you are saved and made an altar call or came to Christ at some point in your life, it's impossible to fall. You cannot lose your salvation. No one can steal your crown. You're perfectly, eternally secure, and there's no danger of departing from Christ. That's a problem. That's not what the Bible says. Our anchor is that God has taught us it's possible to fall, therefore, cling fast to me. Where do we get this from? Well, the Bible tells us continually. Jesus says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Again, in Hebrews 10, if we continue to sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. In other words, you can fall, possible anyway. And Revelation 3, Jesus says, I'm coming soon, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. And the glory of this being an anchor for us, and other churches that say you can't lose your crown, therefore relax, we say you can lose it, therefore gird on your armor. If you teach once saved, always saved, that's a very comforting thing to your heart, but it actually makes you insecure so that you might fall because you're not girding on your armor. But by the very teaching of Christ that it is possible to fall, to lose your crown. That teaches us to gird on our armor, and by that teaching anchors us to make sure we never fall, and we cling to Christ. So this teaching is actually marvelously securing you in Christ, because by that truth here, you are taught and led and inspired by the Spirit to cling to Christ and Christ alone who holds you. And so that's our sixth anchor, our understanding of justification and sanctification. Ready for the seventh one? The final one? You know where I'm getting closer toward the end of the sermon. Is our view as Lutheran Christians of the return of Christ. Our understanding of these final days, chapters of the world in which I believe we are now living before our Lord returns, the coming of the King. You know, many of our brothers in other denominations, God bless them, but they teach something called pre-tribulation premillennialism. Big words. I can't go into all the details here, but in short, they believe that they will be raptured. Say the word raptured. Raptured. Out of the earth, basically vanish into thin air to heaven before the great tribulation of the last days comes. In other words, they teach that they will never have to face the final great troubles of the last days, never have to face Antichrist or his kingdom or the mark of the beast that is coming, which very well may be in the world already, as I've taught at other times. And most of the book of Revelation does not apply to the church of this age. You know what? They're missing an anchor in their days, which is going to leave them, unfortunately, woefully unprepared, vulnerable, and unarmed for what is coming. But the Lutheran Christian believes, as well as many Protestants and other denominations, this anchor that the church, you, will remain on the earth until the final last day when our Lord returns at the end of this world. That is a securing anchor for you. We believe that we will have to face the great troubles of the final days, the Antichrist, his kingdom, the mark of the beast, and show ourselves valiant against them by Christ. This makes you super prepared and well-armed for the days, thus a securing anchor. As Jesus warned, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars at the end of time. Upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Notice a visible return, not an invisible rapture. Now when these things begin to take place, Jesus says, look up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So you will be here to look up to see your salvation is coming down. This is an anchor for you, friends, as Lutheran Christians, that makes you not only firm, but excited about the days in which we live. Joyful, because we're heading for victory. We know that at the end, on the other side of this fight, is Christ face to face and his kingdom, victory, rest, and peace forevermore. Therefore, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, our seventh anchor. So, conclusion here. As a conservative biblical Lutheran Christian, we have these seven anchors, and they are a great blessing to us. But you know what? We're not a perfect denomination. We have our strengths. We have our weaknesses and faults too. Other denominations have their strengths where we're weak, and they have their faults as well. What we want to do is share our strengths with our brothers and all the other denominations. Rejoice in that, and let them share their strengths with us, and we rejoice in that, because we're all part of one great army under one great king to encourage and help each other to hold fast for that final day of the return of our King, that day when we will enter into the grace and joy of God forever. And therefore, we'll conclude with this word from Revelation. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, amen.